Our next item is subdivision 2006-63 Deep Branch Road LLC. Reconsideration of conditions of approval 15, 16, and 17.
This is a request for reconsideration of conditions of approval 15, 16, and 17. I provided each of you a copy of Mr. Fuqua's letter. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Okay. Johnson, do you wish to hear from the applicant?
I'm willing to listen to the applicant, sure.
All right. Mr. Fuqua, that's you again.
Again, it's Jim Fuqua on behalf of the applicant. Thank you for allowing us to present this reconsideration. I represent Gerald Pusely and Leroy Mears, who were the applicants on this application, and we are requesting reconsideration of conditions 15, 16, and 17, which were attached to the approval of the Deep Branch Village subdivision, which was approved on May 14, 2008. That original application proposed a 303-lot single-family subdivision. As you will recall, there was some sizable opposition to that, and I'm sorry to be back before you discussing this, but there are some issues that we feel that we do need to ask you to reconsider. The summary for our request is set forth in my letter of May 23rd, and really, there's really two issues involved. One issue is site design, and the second issue is the permitted density of the proposed subdivision. And what I'd like to do is address our thoughts about the density question first. Condition 16 of the approval reduced the net developable acreage for the subdivision by deducting two parcels that were located across the across roads from the site, and also the wetland acreage. And Kevin, if you have the, let me just put the board up there for a second. I think you'll recall just because of the way the parcel's laid out.
Excuse me just for a second, Mr. Fuqua. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a public hearing, but it is a public meeting. If you would like to move around here quietly so that you can see the board, anybody that has an interest in this, you're welcome to do so. However, we will not be accepting any testimony. Go ahead.
As soon as I show you, I can move. Kevin can take it back there.
Well, whatever. Okay.
The development itself had a piece over here and a piece over there. And again, they were just remnants of, I assume, when the road came through. We had included that in the subdivision. So your first condition was that they should be removed from the subdivision, not counted toward. Okay.
The first thing I want to say, we have no objection to that. We understand that they are separate parcels. Those two parcels total about 2.75 acres. Under the density of 1.5 lots per acre, that would be 4.125 lots, which I rounded off to 5 lots. So we acknowledge that the development should be reduced by those 5 lots because of the deletion of that acreage. So from our requested density of 303 lots, 5 lots should be deducted, and that would result in 298 lots. The additional reduction in density is basically related to the wetland deduction. And this wetlands, there's no tidal wetlands located on this site. The wetlands on this site are federal non-tidal wetlands. Back when Mr. McBride and his firm designed this subdivision, a lot of effort went into the design to make sure that it was done in an environmentally sensitive manner. There were no wetlands located with any lot lines. And in fact, the design created a very extensive buffer from all the wetlands. As a result of the hearing, you've basically put a condition on there of a 50-foot buffer from the federal wetland line, which will be complied with. That is, we're not questioning that will be complied with. In addition, well over 50% of the site, as we designed it, remained in some form of open space. So we were very comfortable and satisfied that this had been designed in a very environmentally sensitive manner. So it's not a question of design as far as the environmental impact. Our concern is that the reduction of the density of this development by an additional 35 lots, in our opinion, is not fair or justified. And it does affect the economic feasibility of the development from the developer's point of view. From my experience, and not that I know everything, but I've certainly been involved in many subdivisions, and also from my review of the county ordinances, both the zoning ordinance and the subdivision ordinance, I'm just not aware of any basis to reduce the density by subtracting federal wetlands. This is a cluster subdivision concept, and the cluster ordinance provisions as enacted by the county state that, well, there's two sections really that address it. The one section states that the number of dwelling units permitted shall be determined by dividing the gross area by 21,780 square feet, which is half an acre. It goes on to say that the area set aside for common open space for recreational use shall be included in determining the number of dwelling units permitted. So again, my reading of the language, the number of dwelling units permitted shall be determined by dividing the gross area by a half an acre. Gross area, obviously, is the entire site. As you know, there was a further amendment made to that, but it's consistent with that language that if you're in a low-density area, which this is, the ordinance goes on to say that the total number of lots permitted shall be determined by first reducing the gross area by 25%. So again, we believe that under the applicable ordinance governing cluster subdivisions, that the permitted density in this case would be 1.5 lots per acre, and based on the acreage of this site, less the lots across the street, the permitted density would be 298 lots. So we are requesting that the conditions be modified, or at least your consideration that they be modified, to cap the number of lots at 298 in accordance with the cluster ordinance. The second issue that we're raising refers to site design. And again, as you know, the cluster ordinance really has two guiding principles. One is that a cluster ordinance should provide a total environment and design which is superior to the standard subdivision. And the second part is that the cluster plan should preserve the natural environment or historical or
archaeological, I think you're trying to say.
It's easy for you to say. As I said before, we think in this case a good design has been put forth to address the natural environment aspects of this. And we certainly believe that that what was created here is a superior environment and design. The ordinance goes on to set forth several items of design criteria, and none of that design criteria prohibits lots abutting one another. If you go back to our original design, the issue in question really became down here in this core area. We had a recreational core, which as you can see is a complete block basically that involves some parking on the street for the tennis courts and the pool and the recreational area, and then a park area over in here. And then there's a grouping of lots right here, here, and here, and here, which abut one another. And I think as a matter of practice, the Planning Commission has basically kind of evolved to where they're looking for every lot being adjacent to some form of open space, which again, I don't necessarily disagree with. 85% of this proposed development, in fact,
85% of these lots are adjacent to open space, but our design had this recreational core and what I would refer to as residential core adjacent to it. And again, it was approximately 15% of the design. And from the developer's point of view, you know, the market really will decide who wants those types of lots and who doesn't want those types of lots. And while I understand that the commission may not want that type of lot, on the other hand, there are people who do want that type of a location. The plans we have, what I'm showing you right here, is the plan that was submitted. This second plan here is basically identical to that. And what this shows is five, looks like six. Okay. Five lots deleted, as I referred to. So that's basically the same plan with the five lots deleted. And again, that this would be that core residential area that we have some concern about. And then the third board I'm going to show you basically indicates that we can comply with that condition. It's not impossible to comply with what you requested. This plan shows that redesign. There's no lots here abutting up to one another in the rear. And basically, it's the same number of lots as the plot before this. It's 298 lots. Obviously, there was redesign done, so it's not identical to that. But again, you have the core section and what it is. Now, our concern, as the developer's interest is concerned, is that when you do that, to the extent you have what you may deem to be beneficial changes, you also have other changes. There's other things that occur at the same time. In this case, with this design, we kind of lose that little park that was there. We no longer have a kind of a separate recreational block where it's just the recreational area as it was here. And now we have lots that kind of abut up to the recreational area, which, and again, maybe somebody would like that, but maybe somebody doesn't want the recreational area in their backyard. And also, in order to do that, there's also a reduction in some lot size. So these lots are not significantly smaller, but they all smaller lots ranging, I'd say, from 500 to 1,000 square feet. Is that fair?
Yeah, we've increased the number.
Sir, if you're going to speak, I need you to come up and give us your name.
What's the average reduction in the lots that we've made smaller?
Name first.
In terms of percentage, they went from.
Would you explain to your client?
I'm trying to answer his question.
Because he's not understanding. And I think maybe
my name is Kevin McBride with Morris and Ritchie Associates.
Need a legal interpretation.
Thank you, Kevin McBride, Morris and Ritchie Associates, Georgetown, Delaware.
Thank you, sir.
We prepared the plan. The lots were reduced from having 103 70-foot lots. Now we have 133 70-foot lots at the expense of some 80-foot lots. Went from 153 80-foot lots to 117. So, again, we were trying to be respectful of what some of the neighbors were saying, increased property values and what have you, that the larger lots would probably sell for more. The minimum lot width is 60-foot. We have no 60-foots on the entire project. 90s, 80s, and 70s. So they're pretty valuable lots and homes. Just maybe not as valuable if we make the lot smaller.
And with the redesign, we basically were able to maintain approximately the same amount of open space. So there's not we tried not to, you know, take away open space in order to accomplish this. So it pretty much is the same type of design. And again, being perfectly honest with you, if that's what you want, it can be done, and it's right there. It's not a problem to do it. We raise it more from a point of view that, in our opinion, the design that we had done was better, in our opinion, is better. We believe that it is a superior design and deserves approval. And since the developer is the entity whose success depends on selling those lots, really there should be some consideration to how they want to design it. So I guess what I'm saying is if our design is superior to the standard subdivision, it should at least warrant your
consideration of approval and not necessarily be designed subject to provisions that aren't really part of the ordinance. Again, I did prepare, in fact, I handed them out to you, some proposed amendments to the restrictions. If you consider these modifications, I'll give those out for your consideration.
And you again, took them back.
I took them back. I'm going to hand them out again. And again, we will be happy to try to answer any questions you might have. But in summary, the design aspects of it, we can do that if that's what the commission is, then we can do it. The density portion, the 298 lots, we do request that the conditions be amended to permit that as the density permitted by the cluster ordinance.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman, for counsel.
Go right ahead.
Mr. Robertson, does the ordinances that set up the cluster subdivision, does it allow the commission any discretion in terms of its approval process for cluster subdivisions, or is it by right that they get 1.5 for the percentage that Mr. Fuquay is referring to?
Well, in terms of calculating the maximum permissible density, I agree with what Mr. Fuquay said. I mean,
that's the maximum allowed.
Yeah, and then, you know, as the commission knows, you get into the superiority, or, you know, consideration of whether you have superior design to a standard subdivision. To go a little bit beyond, I think what Mr. Fuquay talked about is the very last item of the cluster ordinance talks about the Planning and the Zoning Commission may add conditions to the approval of any cluster development to protect adjacent properties in the natural environment. Of course, there's reference to the natural environment and historic and archaeological resources and things like that elsewhere in that ordinance. But in light of that last requirement, I think what Mr. Fuquay is asking the commission to consider is whether, if you're going to take that to mean that you can reduce lots to protect environment and the adjacent properties, whether that's the type of condition that's appropriate under that provision of the cluster ordinance. And I guess the next thing is whether, based on what Mr. Fuquay's argued, there's, you know, a substantive reason for deleting that condition. You know, reconsideration, do you think it was appropriate in the first place? If you first agree that you can, you know, reduce the number of lots or the net density based on that ability to add conditions to the approval.
So, in a shorter answer, is there a provision whereby the developer is by right allowed to have the maximum amount allowed?
You know, that's the one thing with the cluster ordinance. It wasn't really by right because you have to first get over the superiority hurdle, you know, and then you get into, you know, the maximum number of lots. And as I said, you know, then you look at all these other items, including the preservation of natural environment and conditions that the commission can put on it.
And as I recall vividly from the public hearing, that the big concern was the vast number of lots that were being proposed for this subdivision and the impact that it would have on the adjoining neighbors in the surrounding area. And I believe that was the basis for the commission partially reducing the number of lots from 303 to the 260 was based on the overall impact that we were going to have on the community. And that given that this is a rural area and the sparsity of the adjacent housing, there's no question about the impact that this was going to have. And even with the 260, I know there's still concern about the impact. Mr. Fuquay, in terms of the dealing with the wetlands issues, I know that the commission in recent months has, and I was involved in one of those, where the number of lots were reduced based on the amount of wetlands that were on the property. And that was the one of the LT Associates projects in the Lewis area.
I have a question about that wetlands thing. I'm just trying to remember, we don't particularly differentiate between state and federal wetlands when it comes to lots being included in the boundaries, right?
I was going to say, I don't recall that that's just been that there's not any wetlands.
There's a wetland line shown on there. We've said no
wetlands.
No lots in the wetland. Yeah, there's not been a distinction.
I don't know that we've ever actually made drawn the distinction. I guess there's a chance that it was coincidental that it's never been federal, but I don't think that was ever our intent to differentiate between the two.
In the context of within lot lines, I agree 100%.
Right.
No wetlands and lot lines. And again, but just 2 points. The lot reduction, and Mr. Johnson, I don't question your logic whatsoever. I understand that, and it's perfectly logical. My point is this: in terms of the density permitted, depending on your design, depending on the features of that site, you may very well have another 303 or 298 lot proposed development where it doesn't work because you don't have adequate setbacks, or you don't have adequate buffers, or any number of things. You don't have adequate open space, any number of things that could affect that, where lots have to be sacrificed at the expense of doing some of the other beneficial things. My point is this is not that case. This is a case where the open space here is well over 50%. 30% is required in the cluster ordinance. This is well over 50%. The applicant had voluntarily created an extensive buffer from that creek that ran up here. And you have required as a condition that there be a 50-foot buffer from the wetlands, and the federal wetlands, and we can do that, and we are going to do that. Also, there's going to be a 30-foot perimeter buffer entirely around the site, and I can tell you, in most of those places, it's well in excess of 30 feet. That is existing woodlands. That's going to be a wooded buffer around that site. So all those kind of practical things that go into development of a subdivision, in this case, are met. So I don't think this is that case where, to the extent there is discretion, that there's a basis for the discretion. I mean, this is actually a case where the total permitted density is appropriate permitted density. My second point is the, and this is a point I've raised a number of times over the years. I don't question, as I said, the logic or the basis for some policies you may have, but my job is people come to me, I tell them what the law is. You know, that's what they pay me to do. And I don't want to say I don't care what the law is, but to a large extent I don't. As long as I know what the law is, then I can tell my clients what it is. And I know that they are obliged to design their development in accordance with that law, and that they're going to be judged in terms of what they present in accordance with the law. What I have problems with is if there are things that are not in the law that you that are required to be complied with. And we face this dealing with the state agencies often, with the plus comments. You've seen that where we get a lot of comments about we'd prefer to see 200-foot buffers, or we'd prefer to see this, or we do that. You know, you can't plan anything based on that. You can't have that subjective criteria and rely on it because it's subjective, which means it can change at any time. So, as I said, I don't question your logic, but if the law says that the number of dwelling units permitted, the number permitted, shall, all right, shall means that's what it is, determined by dividing the gross area. And the gross area is the gross area. You take anything out of it, it becomes the net area. That's the county's law. That's not my law. I didn't draft that. That's what it says. If that's not what the county means, if that's not what the commission wants it to be, then it should be changed, and then everyone will know that you should subtract the wetlands from your gross area. But that's not what it is today. That's not how this was designed. And again, I think this is in full compliance. And as I said, you look at it and say maybe it's only 35 lots, but I'll tell you what. You take 35 lots and you basically work that out to what they might be sold for, and you can see it's a considerable amount of money in a project, particularly when you're putting in the improvements that will be put on, including central sewer system and things of that nature. As I said, that's basically what we're asking you to do.
and we'd appreciate your consideration.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask another question, Mr. Fuqua?
Sure.
With what you were just quoting from about the shall and your computation, was that it shall not exceed or it shall be in terms of the language when you subtract out the 25?
The 25? Again, what it says is the total number of lots permitted shall be determined by first reducing 25%.
Okay.
Right? It doesn't say, and I'm not sure where it is. It might be in the RPC ordinance, but I think in the RPC ordinance it says the maximum number of lots shall be determined by so and so. Now, in that situation, I think your argument's correct. That's the maximum. That's not what this says, though. It says the number of lots permitted shall be determined this way. And again, I think we comply with that, and I won't beat that horse anymore.
I think there's Mr. Robertson mentioned it earlier, and I think what it simply comes down to is what he was the issue that he raised about whether or not it's appropriate to reduce density in order to protect the environment and the neighbors. Do we have that? Does the law give us the ability to do that? And I will tell you, Mr. Fuqua, I absolutely share your view of the law. I have preached that to these other four gentlemen up here, that it doesn't matter whether you like it, you don't like it, or what. The ordinance is the ordinance, and that's what we have to go by. I think we've got something here that bears thinking about. I'm not ready to make a decision today. But if you are, Mr. Johnson, it's up to you. We'll vote.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
You may.
One of the things that this Deep Branch Village for me seemed to sort of be a conundrum, because keeping on with what Mr. McBride and Mr. Fuqua said, I had thought that the plan was a good plan, but there was something intangible that I couldn't put on the basis of voting for or against this project. There were some aspects of where it was located, and there was certainly a lot of opposition sentiments shared by neighbors about that. I do agree with you. I don't think that it is our job to redraw this plan. However, I was acting on what I thought was the discretion allowed the commissioners in approving a cluster in an ag development, and if at that time Mr. Johnson used the wetlands deletion to get to his calculation, that was the basis of my vote, and I'm not exactly sure that I would have voted for this subdivision if there hadn't been some reduction in the lots or lesser. Now, whether you can still maintain that density in a different design, there again, I'm not here to design that for you, but I'm saying that based on the public hearing and what was in front of me, and I went along with Mr. Johnson's logic, and when it came up for a vote, I said yes, but I don't know that would have been the case if it had been the 303 as was presented. That's all I have.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment or discuss?
Is there a... The five lots that were reduced, were they picked for some reason? Were they removed for the benefit of the community at all?
Yes.
Is there any superior design in those five removals?
I'll show you how the other plan evolved, too. What happened is this is where we got close to the wetlands. In no cases were we ever in the wetlands with a lot.
Right.
And we wanted to give you the full 50-foot. This gave us the full 50-foot in these areas here. This one, rather than cocking the lot line and moving the road over, gave us the 30-foot perimeter that you were looking for. And all we did was take it one step further with this and say, rather than dropping lots in the middle of the road just to get a setback, could we come up with an even superior design by changing the road configuration? Again, a great expense to us. Versus redoing the plan to accommodate your comments, we thought, let's see what we can do. And the only negative that we saw, again, I think we've got our spray areas and things and the ponds, and the roads are great, was that recreation area. And I think that was a trade-off. I think that was a benefit for the entire community. This may be a benefit for these residents. So again, when people purchase their lots, it's up to them to decide what they think is worth having.
Do the lot lines that board in that plan, the recreational facility, is there any buffer between the lot line and the recreational facility at all?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of room in there. Again, we're proposing.
But the lot line goes right up to the recreational field.
Depends on how you define the recreational field. I mean, it's in wooded areas, so we certainly would have a visual buffer between it and the lots.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have one more thing. I guess in the public hearing, what we really didn't see was what this parcel would develop out as a standard subdivision, given the limitations that it has in terms of the wetlands and the other environmental issues, and as well as the layout of the property line. So in terms of the superiority, I don't know if we can say that was addressed either, not having seen how it appears versus standard.
I think standard. That's a question too, superior to what?
Right.
I think the superior to what is superior to what could be done without the cluster.
Right.
Not one cluster versus another cluster.
Sure.
Because we're not, we should not.
No, we're not going to compare cluster versus
design
cluster.
Business. That's no. They need that flexibility and freedom. But.
And I might add that concerning the parcels that were butting up to each other, you know, that's, again, it's something that the commission has addressed on both ways. We've recently had a subdivision or RPC that came back to us where there was concern about the space between them, and we were amenable to that.
And I guess, like I said, on design, we can do what you requested. And the point I'm trying to make, just so I'm clear, is that once you say nothing can abut, I think there should be at least flexibility out there to the applicant to be creative in what they do. And there could be situations where it is appropriate. Now, you may agree this is such a situation. You may agree this is not such a situation. That's your decision to make. But I think that's all I'm concerned about, is to create or to leave that creativity out there for the design.
All right, sir. Well, thank you. Anyone else have anything they want to add, comment, question?
Well, Mr. Chairman, concerning subdivision number 2006-63, Deep Branch Road, LLC, request for reconsideration of conditions of approval, number 15, 16, 17. Yeah. My motion is for a deferral to give the commission time for further consideration.
We did.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2006-63, Deep Branch Road, LLC, reconsideration of conditions of approval, numbers 15, 16, and 17. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next